Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1521, air date November 4th, 2024.
Welcome to Wield the Freedom, Shiva. Shiva Ayudhari, you are an independent presidential candidate. You're running to become the next president in the 2024 elections. Is that correct? Now, I think you also have a novum because you are one of the first independent candidates that was not born in the US, but still is eligible to become president. Is that also correct? Yeah, so there, then it would not be completely equal. And I would say a few hundred years ago, there were multiple presidents that were not born in the US. One of them is Van Buren. He was born in the Netherlands, and he started the Democratic Party, by the way.
Yeah, one second. People are saying they can't hear. I just want to make sure they can hear. Can you guys hear me now? Test 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Just want to make sure people can hear us.
Sure.
Yeah. So people should
be able to hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, I think you can hear me.
From across the pond.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me online? Just do a quick check. One second. Well, let me just check on. Can you look on Twitter to see if you can hear? Test, test. I may have to switch to my internal microphone. Testing, testing, test. I think it works now.
Good, and otherwise we record this so we can always put it. Yep. Good. Yeah. So, why didn't anybody think of that? And of course, we had the whole discussion of Barack Obama being born in Kenya, then not being born in Kenya, etc., etc. Is that even relevant? If you're a citizen, you can run to become president, and if you're elected, you will be the next president. I can hear you loud and clear. Yes. I pause it for a second. And Travel Ellis, is that somebody you work with? Okay. Yeah, Travel is now coming into Zoom. Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Shiva, I can do that for you. I can't hear you in StreamYard, but I can hear you in Zoom. Yep.
You share the window from StreamYard, okay? Okay, so I'm going to leave StreamYard. And stay here until you say you can hear it on StreamYard, okay? So hold on. I'm in. All right. Sorry about that.
I hit the screen of Trey, so he can stay in and.
Yeah, and then he'll just go into gallery. Trey, you're still there, right? Okay, good. Okay, so you're sharing it on StreamYard. Sorry about that, everyone. StreamYard. All right, Trey. So you'll put our captions, etc. All right. Sorry. Yeah, so
this meeting is being recorded.
So the question was the issue about my running for president and being president. The what's really occurred, Willem, is we're talking about a fundamental ignorance that takes place. You see, the Constitution and the advancements in the Constitution, no one actually studies anymore. And this is where people lose their rights. They think you can't do something or this is just the way it is. And your rights get eroded, not because the establishment takes away your rights, but because the electorate chooses to be dumb. Dumb meaning not studying what's going on. And this is,
of course, not looking for the edge. If you're staying in the confinement, the
confinement becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. So you have an expansive potential of this much. And if you think it's this much, this happens in people's personal lives. They limit their possibilities of what they can be in life. So I was brought up because of my condition, you had nothing to lose, right? To always think about the infinite possibilities. And because life is very short, so you didn't become your own worst enemy. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do that, right? So the thinking is, oh, you were born in India and you're a US citizen, therefore you can't run. And people cite a rule from 1787. When they forget, there's been advancements in the advancement of America. There was the 14th Amendment, the 19th Amendment, Schneider versus Rusk, major Supreme Court rulings, which said that equal means equal. All citizens are equal. Number one, all citizens. For example, when I became a U.S. citizen, I gave away my passport back to India. And I said goodbye to India, which means I can never go back to India. But in India, I could have been prime minister, president. So why would I give up that to come to the United States and say there's a ceiling now that I can't go beyond? Like, that makes me an orphan. I'm a second-class citizen. Now, I grew up in India as a second-class citizen in the caste system. Why would I want to become a second-class citizen here, right? So people assume this nonsense. The reality is the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment says all citizens are equal. So if anyone tries to tell me I can't run and be for president, I'm going to say, give a big fuck you to them. Okay? And the fuck you to tell them that I'm equal.
The whole truther movement or birther movement about Barack Obama's birthplace.
It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense, right? Again, you see the establishment, stupid idiots like Trump, always come up with random shit. He's a con man. So you don't focus on real issues. The real issue is cost of living is going up, lifespan is coming down. Let's just look at that. Lifespan is coming down, which means if you have a child today in the United States, your child is going to live shorter than you. Let's talk about real issues. The reality is immigrants are the ones who built the United States. Everyone's an immigrant. And then they make immigration a big issue, right? Well, it's really not a big issue because The reality is the United States would not survive without immigrants. It would be over. Most
Western countries, and I think that is not the debate, that immigration in a sense is vital to a lot of Western economies, which have a replacement rate lower than one. So they're in decline. I think the problem is that people feel that it's unfair, but that's a feeling. People feel that there is not enough to go around if you look at the social security system, etc. So the things that the state provides now have to be shared by multiple people. How do you look
at it? But I think all of this stuff is nonsense because it's a distraction. When you really look at it, who is stealing people's money? So they always make immigrants the problem. It occurs in every country. When those power
in Holland, it was very much the thing that won the election in 2023 by the so-called extreme right-wing party. And I was opposed to this right-wing party, not because they are right-wing, I don't care, because I knew they would not bring any change. Now we're a year further and they have accomplished nothing. They're still complaining about the immigrants and the crime of immigrants, but there's no solution. And if you are
let's just really go back to the fundamentals here. Who are the criminals? Who are the victims? There's 8 billion people on the planet. Let's just go to very simple numbers. During the pandemic, 600 billionaires increased their wealth by $2.3 trillion. Who is the fucking criminals here? Who are the actual criminals? Okay. Right now in Gaza, you have the swarm, as I call it. Everyone goes to shattertheswarm.com. You'll understand how the few control the many. They are literally committing genocide and taking people's land. So who are the fucking criminals? Okay. Who are the illegal immigrants into Gaza? It's the goddamn Zionists. Okay. Hoodlums who came there. And if you want to really talk about who is the illegal immigrant, you go ask the American Indians, the Native Americans, okay, who the illegal immigrants are. I mean, where do you want to take this? The reality is the following, that none of these issues are, the issue of immigration, when the Italians came here, they said, oh, the Italians are smelly people. They're the problem. Or the Irish are bad. And then it was the Polish. So always blaming someone else is a way that the establishment divides up the working class, immigrants and nativists, right? And it's called nativism. Nativism is no different than racism. It's no different than sexism. Nativism is, oh, we were here first. You're bad. Okay? So this is all nonsense. When you really go look at the reality of the economics here, cost of living has been going up. Lifespan has been coming down. Let's talk about that. And that has nothing to do, in fact, immigrants are the ones who created America. People came from the Mayflower immigrants. People who built the United States were immigrants in the 1700s. All right.
I think two things. So a lot of people think in scarcity. And we, of course, do not agree. But unfortunately, the majority of voters thinks that way. And that's why they are so gullible to constantly choose for a bad candidate.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I think what's happened is, first of all, elections are selections. Okay.
Absolutely.
So we have to step back from this. Most people that I meet, having lived in the United States since 1970, most of our movement are white people who support me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most hardworking American people are not racist. They're not nativists. This concept of this nativism is shoved down people's throats. Okay, through constant bombardment in the media. So we have to remove these statements because they're not true, actually, when you actually look at the observation. Observationally, people of all races actually do get along. So you have to shove down people's throat this concept, and then you have to make it an issue. So if you bombard it enough in the media.
Exactly. It becomes the thing that polarizes,
right.
That sets us against each other. However, it is a tried and proven method by anybody in power. Just push in a group that has zero rights and zero political power and blame them for everything that goes wrong, and then they are off the hook. So always look at the people in power. Unfortunately, that does not happen, or not often.
Right. So, but this is just a standard operating thing that our movement educates people on, right? So if you have an internal problem and your economy is not doing well, you go start a war with somebody else, okay? So people just need to smarten up. And our movement continually explains this to people, that the essence of advancement of truth, freedom, health is we the people across all religions, across all races, working people need to unite. But we don't want to unite with the swarm, you say? We're not into fake unity. We're not into uniting with people who are scumbags. So there are people, when you start exposing them, they say, oh, Dr. Shiva is splintering us. Yeah, I do want to splinter you guys away from us. But the unity here is of people who believe in a common set of shared principles. So there is a relentless process of the establishment to divide people. I mean, and particularly working people. So it's like watching a sports game, right? Pepsi versus Coke, or Yankees versus Dodgers, right? And so, I mean, why are these elections 48% to 48%? They're so close. They're not that close. The reality is they're excluding all the dark matter of people who don't even bother voting, and who don't even get a chance to get real candidates.
So yeah, that's a good point, because not every country has the same amount of people that vote. I believe in the United States, it's just 50% of the population that votes.
Right. But then the real conundrum here is in the United States. In other countries, you have parliamentary systems. You have many, many people run for office. You have coalition governments. If I got, 10% of the vote, I will get 10% of seats in Congress, right? Or in representation. The United States is winner take all. It's all or nothing. And they do this so two parties can control everything. So if you look at the real analysis of this, in 2020, I was the one who led the exposition of the election fraud, where it really occurs. But at that point, election fraud was committed on me at the end of the process, which was the machines and the signature verification, which I showed in many, many scientific papers. But running for president, you also learn something else. Election fraud is much more of a systems problem, meaning the real election fraud begins with who they even allow on major media. Step one, or on social
media. And I would
media.
Say that's not even fraud, that's interference. That is
No, it's fraud. It's fraud. Let me tell you why it's fraud. Because according to the FCC, all people are supposed to be given equal time, okay? Elon Musk is giving away people $1 million. I mean, that's fraud. He should be in jail, okay? He has no right to do that. So the fraud begins by how the small set of people call up their friends, who will be even on CNN or Fox. And now, who will get visibility on social media? When I first got put back on Twitter, I had 10 million views per day. Now I'm down to 10,000. Now, the person committing that is Elon fucking Musk. Well, Elon Musk.
The algorithms that he programmed, and I think you raise a very good point. People that think that freedom of speech and freedom of reach are the same thing, no. What happened is that we came from a very crude form of censorship to a more sophisticated form of censorship where we think we can say and reach people, but we don't. And I think the elections this year have really shown that. I don't know if you have followed the European elections or the elections in France and Germany and in England. They had one thing in common, or two things. So the nationalist parties won, like in Holland, which do not bring any change. But the most important thing is that all the people that really were challenging the system lost. And in the case of Andrew Bridgen, for instance, he ran as an independent, and he lost 92% of his constituents, which is very odd. And we see this across the board. When I ran in 2021, it was the same thing. So the people that actually expose the shit show, expose that elections do not work in this way, they are thrown out. And I think that's a very good point that you make when you say that you started with 10 million views and now you're down to 10,000. and that keeps diminishing. And this is exactly what all these people that I'm just talking about have seen or are experiencing right now.
Yeah, so here's the difference, Willem. I have never believed in electoral politics since I was 17 years old. I believed in building movements. Fundamental difference. To the extent that we run in electoral politics, you know, we ran in 2020. If I didn't run, and you know, an engineer with all the different skills that I have from an engineering standpoint, people like me are supposed to stay in our skill set, be an engineer or be an inventor. But because I ran and because we built a movement, we exposed so much in 2018 and we exposed more in 2020. So we tell people very openly that these elections are selections, but doesn't mean we stay out. You jump in and you use the opportunity to educate people. So, and you use the opportunity to grow our movement. So now we have a global movement. You know, we have a huge, about 2,000 people in the Netherlands, for example, you know, 5,000 people in England, about a couple hundred thousand people in the United States. And now we have leaders all over the world. So as we jump in and we fight, the important thing is to keep fighting. As we fight, we expose. And that exposition educates more people to want to fight and build a bottoms-up movement. So you can't win in this. You can't lose at this, you say? So we redefine what winning is. Winning is not winning their elections, because we're never going to win their elections. But we win by the fact, look in the United States, we got on the ballot in nearly every state with less than $100,000. Booby fucking Kennedy was a complete fucking swarm creature, raised $20 million and he pocketed it, okay? He supports the genocide in Gaza. He is all for vaccination of all Americans.
And I must say, so a lot of people, my viewers as well, were very enthusiastic about Kennedy turning independent. And now they're moderately enthusiastic about him joining the Trump team. But to me, it was very disingenuous that he actually supports Israel in which is clearly a violation of so many international laws. So I feel that people like Kennedy, which have definitely more integrity than most of the selectors.
No, Willem, you got to stop there. You got to time out.
I want to say something about Kennedy. I'm getting to the point.
Yeah, but it's not true, though. He actually has worse integrity.
Maybe, but my point is that what I see is that people who want to run in the system and want to gain influence via the system sell out their soul.
No, because but
you got to
take a step back here. This is why movements fail. And this is a fundamental difference. In Europe, we had many people thinking Kennedy was somebody. I've known this guy for many years at a personal level too. Okay. So let's just stop right here, because this is why people in Europe have gotten fucked and throughout the world. This is what we teach at Truth, Freedom, Health. Here's the fundamental mechanics. And I hope your viewers, including yourself, really get this. Otherwise, people are going to keep making mistakes. Now, I understood this nearly 40 years ago when I was 17 years old. It's a fundamental physics. Kennedy is a fucking scumbag. He will tell you to your face. Let me finish. I need to finish this.
Okay.
You need to really listen. Okay. Kennedy has openly said personal integrity does and public integrity are two different things. He has openly said, I believe in full vaccination of all Americans. You just look at his entire family history. His family is what I call the not so obvious establishment. His uncle is the one who created the 1962 Vaccination Act. His other uncle, Ted Kennedy, is the one who ensured that pharmaceutical companies were relieved off any type of indemnity. So you have to really understand what Kennedy is. He's a fucking scumbag. Always has been. His entire life. He got into Harvard by simply writing his name. He never did a fucking thesis. He had someone else write his thesis. The entire Kennedy history is fiction. So the establishment has two heads. And throughout history, the establishment has two heads. The one head is the one you can easily attack at. Okay, George Bush, Hillary Clinton, blah, 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 the British in India. However, the establishment is much smarter. So they dupe people like, unfortunately, yourself, who think that these other people are better.
I will let you make your point and then I'll...
But I have to make this point, because sure, this is why movements don't grow, because people think Kennedy has integrity. He has no fucking integrity. In fact, I would argue that he has worse integrity than George Bush, because you at least know George Bush is a snake. So the establishment has two wings, the two heads. One is the obvious head, which you can attack easily. And they get all the young people and activists saying, oh my God, Bush is bad, da, 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 da. But they have the not so obvious establishment, which is also created. And in engineering theory, we call it a disturbance. They create this thing which says all the right things, acts like he's a fighter. They create a fake fighter. They've done this throughout history. In India, they had Gandhi.
People think, oh my God. The false prophets and the controlled opposition. I think these systems are clear.
It's created, though. It is created. So the real bottoms-up movement, people who start rising, who are sincere, like yourself and others, right? Even in the United States, young people. They want to build a movement, and then suddenly they hear someone saying, oh yeah, I'm building a movement. And they follow that person. And at the last minute, this person always gives their votes back to the establishment. Why do they do that? They do that to make sure these people never build a movement. Now, in 1984, when I was 17, there was a guy called Jesse Jackson. He was like the quote unquote Bernie or Kennedy of the time. Jackson ran under the Rainbow Movement, getting young people riled up, people thinking, oh my God, Jesse has a lot of integrity. And he never did. If you really look at his actual existence, he was a bullshitter. And then at the last minute, he said, well, you know, we have to have the better of lesser of two evils. And he gives all of his votes to Mondale. Bernie Sanders was another example of that. Fucking Booby Kennedy. These people are created. They come top down, come in their limos. When I ran the biggest protest to stop the vaccine mandates in New Jersey, Booby fucking Kennedy came in his SUV and was telling others that I was going to hurt the movement, because he needed to negotiate in backroom deals. You have to understand, Booby Kennedy's a fucking scumbag from the day he was born to the day he is today. And no one should give him any, by giving him this concept, please, this is not a joke, Willem, because this is why movement fail.
I'm listening to your argument.
Because this is what our movement gets across. So when I decided to run, okay, he literally would send people to our Zoom sessions, cut and copy actual statements, and the next day you do videos. So what they have is, it's a CIA operation. They have people like Kennedy, Tulsi Gabbard, Bernie Sanders, et cetera, who are created and funded by the swarm. They get visibility.
Of course, I don't even think these people deny it, but they say they have an epiphany, they evolve.
Who is that? What are you talking about?
The people that you just mentioned, like Tulsi Gabbard,
no, but they are created by them. They're supported by them.
Yeah, to a certain extent, they know that they are controlled, and to a certain extent, they think they're doing the right thing, because you're taking it personal, and I think that's not even necessary.
No, it's completely, not personal.
I completely agree with the whole idea that a movement is a movement around ideals and not about people. And this is the big pitfall.
No, it's about both. So you have to understand, when you have to integrate the personal and the public. Kennedy, on a statement, he said, personal integrity is different than public integrity. And then he went on to say that during the lockdowns, he promoted lockdowns. Go look at his tweet saying that this is going to help the climate scam. So I'm telling you, this is why people got fucked in 2020, 21. We were leading this. There were many people in Europe who were thinking, oh, Booby Kennedy, and they invite him to all these things. He's a fucker, okay? Just like Bernie Sanders, just like Jesse Jackson got a private plane out of the deal. Booby Kennedy got to pocket $20 million. He lives in Malibu. He talks his shit. It is a spiel. And I can introduce you to many people, okay? I've been to his Aspen event. I know this guy. But this is a central reason movements don't occur, because people have these illusions. Well, Kennedy may be a nice guy. He says some good stuff. It's not true. He knows what he's doing. I can show
you. He says nice stuff, but he doesn't follow through. I think that's
He knows he's doing this consciously. He knows his role is to be the not so obvious establishment. He makes money doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's what people need to understand. As long as people promote any illusion, oh, Kennedy may be nice. You know, he's poor guy. He knows his role. I can show a friend of mine worked for him for many years. He's the one who shared with me that video where Kennedy's saying, I believe in full vaccination of all Americans. I vaccinated all my kids. And then he goes on to say, oh, but I'm going to somehow create safe vaccines. with this corrupt CDC. You see, he speaks with forked tongue. And many people, idiots, give him money. In 2020, I have to do the dirty job of calling him out. And many people, good people like yourself, oh, Dr. Shiva, why don't you work with Kennedy? You're being too harsh.
I didn't ask that, but I think by calling people out, and I've been in that position as well, you are the bringer or the harbinger of bad news. And it hurts your own election chances or your own movement. And this is something that...
What are you saying?
Ah, so if you call somebody out, and we have done that in Holland.
We don't call people out. Let me stop. We teach people this larger concept that the establishment always has the obvious establishment and the not so obvious. Because of the relentless way we called out Kennedy, Kennedy ran to Trump. And then now they've created a new one. You see, they always have to have Jill Stein. Jill Stein is going to fill that vacuum. This is a mechanistic process, Willem. It's not about people. It is about these people represent a phenomenological process that those in power have. And whether it's Kennedy today or Bernie Sanders tomorrow, or Vivek the Snake, this process is what needs to be understood. Without understanding this process, people will never focus on others and building this bottoms-up movement. They think there's some shortcut. Someone from above is going to come save us. So, and you have to vociferously call these people out. That's the point.
So that's I think, my main point where we, I think, agree is that people, you mentioned it like it's a selection, not an election, but a selection process. So the choices you're being offered are almost always of people that are already in one way, shape, or form, members of the elite. And then I mean it very broadly, the upper class. And you mentioned the caste system in India. So I think in the Constitution of the United States, as you mentioned, anybody should be able to run for office. We have such an article in our Constitution as well. However, the system is designed in such a way, regardless whether their intentions or their integrity is true or false. The system is set in such a way that it is very difficult to go around that gut feeling that a lot of people have that are looking for a leader. And I think that is the most, that is the biggest problem with democracy, that people do not look for a representative of their needs and their wishes, but of somebody who can lead them. And when people do not understand that they have to lead themselves and that they have to hold anybody in elected office accountable, then of course democracy will constantly fall back to a selection process where the elite rigs the game.
Yeah, look, the entire base of our movement, you know, we've handed out probably 10 million cards now. Our cards say, save yourself. And if you want to save yourself, join this movement because we're going to teach you how to fight. Very different concept, okay? Versus saying, vote for me and I'm going to save you. It's very different. And if you look at all the videos I've done, and if you go on our streams, you'll see all of our leaders throughout the country. All these people are learning bottoms up, but they're understanding the mechanics. Again, getting the central mechanics that the reason that suffering has continued is because the so-called activists keep looking to people like Kennedy and they absolve them. Those people are the real snakes and they must be eviscerated and to give power back to the people. So if you look back, 2020 is a great learning opportunity. Go look at March of 2020. Just go look at that. And you can see a leader bottoms up. There will be leaders bottoms up, but are they from our leaders, guys like me who come from below, or are they anointed top down? Kennedy is anointed, okay? The Kennedys. Okay, very horrible family, a bunch of mafia thugs, okay?
You could even say that about Trump. Of course, he is not.
Of course, Trump, Kennedy, Trump, the Bidens, Kamala Harris, all of these people are anointed top down. They would not have any, they wouldn't ever be on TV. They didn't work their butt off. They didn't create anything. They didn't make anything. They didn't create jobs. They just were anointed. Trump was a consummate con man, anointed. So it's very important for people to break their mental thing to expose these people. Viciously, you have to expose them. So people have no respect for them because you're breaking up people's neural networks, which have been told, oh, Kennedy, Bobby. And people call him Bobby. Why the fuck you call him Bobby? You don't even know him. You see the way the psychological manipulation takes place. People are Bernie. Bernie, come on. The guy's never held a job. A friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, worked for him for 2 years. Very smart woman, neuroscientist. She said, oh, Shiva, you're always criticizing people. Bernie's going to fight the establishment. I said, Bernie is going to sell you out on the floor of the Democratic Convention. Okay? We had a similar discussion. He goes, no, 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 you're being too hard on him. That's exactly what Bernie did. And you know what happened, Willem? Thousands of people like her, like my friend Lori, who are very enthusiastic, they all left ever doing any activism. And that is their goal. That is the job. Many people who are blindly following Kennedy, now after, you know, they're like, I'm giving up. And that's what they want to do. They take the best people who are kind-hearted, but they don't understand this very important dynamic. And that's why I'm repeating this. Kennedy is the snake. It's easy to see a George Bush. It's easy to see a Dick Cheney. People like Kennedy. Tulsi Gabbard, another fucking piece of shit. She said, oh, yeah, I'm against the military-industrial complex. She was all out for invading Iraq after 9/11. She was all out for bombing the shit out of Gaza. So these people are created.
I'm fine with calling out people and showing their double morals or standards or evolving points of view. But I don't think that we necessarily have to call them names, but just very clearly.
Why shouldn't you call them names?
Well, why should we? Because
I'll tell you why. Because what you're doing is these people, why you would call that to anyone else? People.
No, I would not swear to anybody.
Have been
programmed, actually,
Willem, to give these people respect. The amount of trillions of dollars or billions that the Kennedy family has spent to create this brand, you have no idea. Or the Trump brand or the Kamala Harris brand. These people overnight get massive amounts of funding, unimaginable funding. And that funding goes into TV advertising, stories to manipulate people's brain. And it is very important. For example, it came out naturally. I said, all of the presidential candidates are Zionist cocksuckers. Now, why did I say that? It came out very naturally. Because growing up where I did in New Jersey, that's how people talk about people. Everyday people are not so diplomatic. So you cannot overdo your language is thought. And when you control and you try to be diplomatic with your language, oh, I wouldn't call them that term. You're overthinking this. What comes out when you really realize who these people are, they are fucking Zionist cocksuckers. And Kennedy is a fucking piece of shit because he manipulates people. He takes advantage of all sorts of people. A lot of people, mothers who we know, you can talk to a bunch of the mothers who followed him, who gave him money. At the end of the day, he's exploitative motherfucker. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And yeah, this is highly organized. You should call them names. I disagree with you. You should call them.
Okay, so names. we can disagree on that.
But you should call them names, the right names at the right time. It's good to curse.
No, I understand the point that you're making is that you want to break the aura of
very important,
etc.
So yeah, look, one of my mentors is a guy called Noam Chomsky. Okay, mm-hmm. Language is thought. You control language and I can control you. So when you're saying don't use those words, I'm sorry, Willem, they're controlling you. Because ordinary people, 8 billion of us, when you get fucked over, you don't say, well, I'm not going to use those words. No, you fucking use those words.
No,
I
don't.
These people are dangerous. They are dangerous people.
And I think it's much more important to explain why these people are dangerous.
Yeah, you can do both. I do both, okay? Mm-hmm. But don't underestimate the power of words and calling these people names. Because people are ready for that. That Zionist cocksucker video, it got 100 million views. It probably got 1 billion. Because internally, you cannot suppress the natural anger of people. That is wrong. That's what politicians do. That's what the liberal left has done.
Well, they're actually using it to steer, to make you choose against one candidate and in effect for the other one.
I'll give you another example. In 1984, you may remember the South African anti-apartheid movement was explosively growing. I was a student activist on campus. Many of the large universities, MIT, Harvard, had hundreds of millions of dollars invested in racist South Africa. And when those movements came up, again, you'll see the same thing. You had the obvious establishment, some students saying, oh, no, we're helping the blacks by sending them money. Then you had other students like the liberal whites, you know, they would sing Martin Luther King songs. Oh, we shall overcome poor blacks in South Africa. Those same rich white kids would be afraid to go to Boston's Roxbury district, which is all blacks. Then there was us, the revolutionary movement. We said, look, if we're going to talk about apartheid in South Africa, let's also talk about apartheid right here on campus, where the black, poor and white, poor whites and poor black workers are not even given proper health insurance. So we, when we did the anti-apartheid movement, we also fought for their rights. You see, we united it. So one day we were doing a massive march from Boston University up Mass Ave over this big bridge, right, coming to MIT. So as we're marching, these liberals are trying to, they were doing, there's 5,000 of us marching. It was a very, very blah demonstration. They were singing, we shall overcome, no to apartheid. So me and our friends, we took up a very different slogan. The night before, a bunch of students in South Africa had been gunned down by the government. So we took up the slogan, apartheid in South Africa, burn it to the ground. The white liberals, oh my God, that sounds too dangerous. You shouldn't be using that word. That sounds violent. Do you know everyone took up that slogan? Apartheid in South Africa, burn it to the ground. Everyone loved it. Why? Because it captured their natural anger against this racist regime. You know who didn't like it? These white liberal kids wearing hippie little hats. And they would say, you can't say that. That sounds violent. We told them to shut the fuck up. And when we marched over to MIT, I burned the South African flags. No one stopped me. And then we marched into the president's office at MIT. We scared the shit out of him. Months later, MIT pulled out. When the actual movement comes up and people, the establishment gets scared. But when these liberal elites like fucking Kennedy and even Trump was a not so obvious establishment, or they are there to quell that natural anger. That's why it's fucking dangerous. And people who
I agree. I agree that it's dangerous because it gives people a feeling that politics and elections work and that they can vote their way out of a rigged system, which is obviously not the case. So we agree on basic framework that movement is a real grassroots movement should take a lot of care not to fall for the not so obvious establishment.
Exactly, and it's not even elections. This primary thing here is these individuals are created, funded, supported, given major positions. Chomsky was one of these people. Unfortunately, I had to break with him. Chomsky gets a beautiful position at MIT, but his job was to demoralize people, to not build bottom. If you ever went to a Chomsky lecture, you'll sit there for 3 hours. He'll tell you every gross detail. And then you'll leave, oh my God, we can't do anything. The world sucks. Okay? So these people are, or people follow them and they sell them out. So they are engineered to make sure new naive activists, you know, look up to them. That's what they're doing. Not look to their left or their right of their friends. And they sell themselves out. So this is their goal. Now, this dynamic I'm sharing with you, very few people even understand that this is the root of evil. This is the root cause. Why there has been no movement.
So what I think is that, yes, you're right. And people have a tendency to play into this system. So we can blame all the people that are playing that role in trying to get the masses away from real change. But I think people also need to realize that freedom is not sandy white beaches and coconut palms. I think a lot of people in the West have a completely distorted idea of freedom, an idea of autonomy. Is that they think, okay, if we have democracy and we have rule of law, then everybody can be rich, everybody can go on a holiday. We just need to fine tune the system so it works for everybody. And I think that is the false sentiment that a lot of people in the West are suffering from.
Well, I don't know if that's I don't think we should make these general statements. It depends on which segment of it's a class issue. If you're talking to the top 0.001%, that's the shit that they preach to the next tier. But if you're talking to the broad mass of working people, they, when I share that curve, cost of living going up and lifespan coming down, which people can go to, you know, shivaforpresident.com/cards, and you can see those cards, or vashiva.com/cards. So those cards are now in like 50 different languages, including Dutch and all these languages. So we hand them out. That curve exposes the fact for the last 50 years that regardless of which way, you cannot undeniably get away from that curve. Lifespan is going down, cost of living is going up. So once people understand that, they realize that there's no way to vote your way out of this. You need a systems overhaul. And that systems overhaul begins with the individual understanding the dynamics of their own oppression, that they have been given the obvious establishment, but more evil is the not so obvious establishment. Who is supported.
I would say more evil still is the whole system that steers both.
Yeah, the system that keeps us down. You should make sure you go watch the Shatter the Swarm 15-minute video. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Okay, that took me 40 years to do that little whiteboard. It'll explain to anyone from a systems theoretic basis, but in a very easy way for anyone to understand what the goal of the swarm is. They use system science. They use system science to achieve their goals. They put their inputs, and their inputs are the obvious establishment, the not so obvious establishment. They want people to be stuck like Velcro to one wing of the obvious establishment or the not so obvious establishment. As long as they have people saying, oh, I think Kennedy's a good guy. I think, you know, he says some good stuff. You know, as long as that shit is going on, you're fucked. And the day that we get enough people breaking from that, which is what we're doing, and the quality of people that we get into our movement are not intellectuals. Plumbers, electricians, housewives, nurses. And these people are learning the same system science that I used to teach at MIT that people like Henry Kissinger used to teach, or George Soros. Without this fundamental understanding, people, and you have to have enough people get this, around 2 to 3%. It's at a very high state of consciousness. It's over. It's just going to be a matter of time. Number one, people need to understand how the few control the many. Go to Shatter the Swarm. Number two, once people understand this, intellectually and emotionally, they have to decide, do they want to cut it off and get off the swarm? Do they want to stand up on their own 2 feet and save themselves? We call it save yourself. That takes a different level of dignity, a different level
exactly.
of
courage. And that was the point that I was trying to make with people have a distorted notion of freedom. Freedom is taking responsibility for your own life. And a lot of people...
Charger. Keep talking. Go ahead.
So a lot of people think that electing somebody who will lead them and represent them is freedom. And I think that is a lullaby of the system. They sing you to sleep and they give you false options. But in reality, the system is constantly taking more surplus of the people that trying to live for themselves, but in effect are feeding the system. Now, there's another thing that I want to discuss with you, and that's the difference between the 2016 versus the 2020 versus the 2024 elections. Because I think there is a progression in what we saw in 2016 is the scare that some outsider could game the system. Then in 2020, I think we saw massive election fraud. What do you expect for 2024? Will it be smoother? Will you think Trump will win, Harris will win? And do you think it even matters?
Yeah, so before we were starting this call, we said, what do we want to focus on? So given the background we just talked about, let me tell you what makes 2024 different. What makes it fundamentally different is that our movement is running for office. This has never occurred before. What I mean is our movement, a true bottoms-up movement by the people for the people. This has never occurred before in U.S. history, probably maybe in the 1800s, 1900s. So if you look at the fact that with less than $100,000, Willem, that's all we raised. In nearly every state in the United States, we have a national organization. Think about that. Kennedy had to raise $20 million. The Green Party raised millions. The Libertarian Party raised millions, so-called independents. These are the not-so-obvious establishment. And we're the ones who put the fear of God into them. Iowa, which is the state in the center of Mass, the United States, which is known as the centerpiece. You know, when the presidential elections start, they start in Iowa. Trump is on the ballot. Harris is on the ballot in Iowa. We're on the ballot. Jill Stein ain't on the fucking ballot. She could not. In order to get on the ballot in Iowa, you have to go to 19 different counties and you have to get signatures. You have to travel everywhere. You need a bottoms-up movement. She doesn't have that. Okay? Chase Oliver barely got it on. She has millions in the bank. How do we get on the ballot in Iowa? People power. Okay? The Green Party did not do it. This is quite important to understand. Massachusetts, you have to get 20,000 signatures from 350 towns. We're on the ballot here, okay? A number of those independent parties who've been around for 100 years didn't get on the ballot, okay? We are now on the ballot in nearly every state where people can write us in. They can write in Dr. Shiva, because in the United States, we have an electoral system. You have to have electors in every state. In order to get electors, you need an organization to do that. The important thing is, we did it without money. Okay? And in five states, they threw us off the ballot, even though we legitimately got on the ballot. New Jersey, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Tennessee. Okay? And one other state. It'll come to me. Okay? In those states, did we walk away? No, we filed our own lawsuits. Lawsuits which would have cost, you know, $500,000 to file. We did it ourselves. We're not lawyers. But you know, I filed other lawsuits. So now we've taught our leaders how to file lawsuits. We have an electrician by the name of Nicholas Lupa who's arguing with a federal judge. That doesn't happen. That's truly bottoms up. We have a woman who's a 75-year-old woman in New Jersey who argued. I have never filed a Supreme Court lawsuit. There's only about 100, 150 Supreme Court lawyers. I did my own Supreme Court brief. And typically, out of the 7,000 Supreme Court briefs that are filed every year, only 4% of them even make it to the justices' review. 96% gets thrown out. And then out of that, 1% makes it. Guess what? We just found out yesterday, day before, our lawsuit is going to be heard in conference. That's huge. That would have cost $5 million to do. Do you understand that we are doing this with zero money, but with our own knowledge, and it's being done by ordinary people? Typically you have your team of lawyers. The state of New Jersey has 2,022 lawyers. There's only me and a couple of people. So think about what we're doing. And so what's different is, I mean, Trump wanted me to be part of his thing, and I've met with him multiple times, right? But we don't sell out to all these people. Very different than Bobby Kennedy. He tried to make a deal with Kamala Harris. She told him to fuck off. Then he went and did a deal with God knows how much money he's getting for this. Okay? These two candidates, Trump and Harris, have raised billions, $15 billion. We raised $100K. And if you go look on Reuters, you'll see Trump, Harris, Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. They don't want to give us that visibility. So we fucked them in many ways. Every state we got on the ballot, millions of people at least see our name. Okay? And then when they go check that out, they see a movement. And then when they see the movement, they see not only me, but all these people who are doing short videos. So that is what this movement's about. And we're doing this globally. So this is what I've always wanted to do my entire life, because my central principle I figured out when I was 18 years old was that they do not want us to build a true bottoms-up movement where we get intellectually educated. We build our own community. We fight. That's what makes this election so different. Reince Priebus, who was Trump's former chief of staff, he's on the board of a friend of mine's company. When he heard I was running, he said, oh, this is going to be very disruptive. So the only thing they have to do now is to act as I don't exist. You know, there's no Dr. Shiva. Oh, really? We got 500 million people know about us. So the level of manipulation they're doing, not even attacking us, but to make us invisible. So you have the swarm, one winged as Trump with Elon Musk, Vivek the Snake, Fucker Carlson, right? Acting as like though they're anti-establishment. And over here, they have Kamala Harris being presented as a new, you know, brown-skinned woman who's a woman for all seasons. Well, she's a Brahmin. She's never worked a day in her life. When I was in New Jersey mowing lawns and playing baseball growing up as a kid, She was in Montreal. You know,
can you say Brahman just for the viewers? So Brahman is one of the highest castes.
The highest caste. In fact, the Tamil Brahmin is the highest of the high. Okay. It was her ancestors who would spit on my mother. She went to the well, calling her like the N-word. Okay. So you have to understand that you look at my skin color and hers, it looks the same. But you know what? I represent the 99% of people in India, for that matter, the 95% of people in the United States who come bottoms up. So this is the problem they have. So they have to make me invisible. They have to attempt. But this is why we go on the ground. The future is offline. If you go to Netherlands, you'll see people handing out cards. If you go to England, if you go to the United States, we have people getting on the ground, having conversations. We have our own infrastructure to the extent, you know, they let me tweet once in a while on Twitter, whatever they do, but we're constantly attacking Musk. Okay. You know, Clayton Morris of Redacted, when I got back on Twitter, he asked Musk, hey, Dr. Shiva's the one who exposed a backdoor portal into Twitter, Elon. Are you going to do anything? And he acted dumb. Oh, well, I didn't know about that, right? He hasn't done
that. That's impossible. We also did a lot of freedom of information requests and court cases, these escalation channels. Also for the viewers, these are portals where civil servants can log in and take out accounts. This is, well documented.
So I was the first victim of that as a U.S. Senate candidate in 2020. I had to file my own lawsuit. And this is in 2020. We exposed it. And then they did the limited hangout. Kennedy tried to take credit for my thing. Okay. He didn't do shit. In fact, he came to our lawsuits. Okay. Elon Musk waited, Tucker Carlson. This is called a CIA limited hangout. The reality occurs, then they try to own the story and then they try to squash it. And that's what they did. The problem is our movement's here. I'm still alive and we keep exposing them. So that is what's different. You typically have the left wing and the right wing. And then the other dimension, you have the obvious establishment and the not so obvious establishment. Well, we exist now. We're exposing all these people. So we have to have these difficult conversations. Again, don't take it personally. We have to say, hey, Willem, no, Kennedy's a piece of shit. We have to tell them that. And that typically never took place.
So I understand this is your way of communicating, and that's fine. I want to compliment you on a thing that we had in our conversation we had 4 years ago. You talked about fascism. Fascism explaining like, but when corporations and government work together, that's actually the schoolbook definition of fascism. And at that moment, I thought like, maybe people will be put off by calling it fascist. And I have come to the conclusion that you are right. That I think it's really important to call a spade a spade. So if you're talking about neo-feudalism or neo Malthusianism, fascism, etc. I think that is important to point out the ideology behind the system.
Well, I think one of the important things, Will, and what's happened is the entire purpose here, what's different between the US and China is the following. China openly tells you they're state capitalists. They are fascist, okay? The Communist Party has the leaders of government and the leaders of these corporations to one. The United States tries to give this illusion as though there's a Chinese wall separating government and these major companies, right? But they just do it a different way through an intermediary called lobbyists, and they have a rotating process, okay? But however, they can't even hide this anymore. And Elon Musk is the epitome of this. Where government begins and Elon Musk ends, nobody knows. Starlink just got a $2 billion grant from Pentagon to put up spy satellites. Now, if the government did that, we could sue the government. So this is the difference with the government, because the First Amendment would protect us. But the government has outsourced that to a private company, which also has First Amendment rights. So they've laundered surveillance. They've laundered censorship to private companies.
And this is what they're doing with social media. This is what they're doing with banks. This is what they're doing.
Everything.
With pharmaceuticals.
Everything.
Yes.
Everything. So if the government attempted to silence speech, you have protection. If the government opened your letter in the US, you can sue them, okay? But now social media companies are opening all your mail, email. And I talked about this back in 1997. So what people need to understand is the following. You're looking at somebody who came from the fucking Indian caste system, who has been wanting to figure out the dynamics of oppression, because I want to shatter the swarm. This is very deeply personal and deeply collective. It's both, okay? So that journey took me through a deep intellectual exercise as an engineer. It's not some highfalutin theory, but combining theory with practice. So I'm able to see the future many years ahead, not because I'm some sage, but because I've done the fucking work. So 1997, I went to the Postal Service and I said, look, you guys need to offer a public infrastructure for email, because all these social media companies are going to completely, they said, own, because the founding fathers wanted free speech to equal free reach. They wanted that.
Absolutely. So, and that's very disingenuous what we see in the Digital Services Act, the Digital Marketing Act. Those are the acts in Europe. And Elon Musk saying you have free speech but not free reach. These are perversions of the rights.
And that's
right. The free speech is also the right to be informed, free information.
Yep. The ADL says the same thing. The Zionist ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, said the same thing. Free speech does not equal free reach. Without free reach, there is no free speech. This is why the founders of the United States created the Postal Service. And they also created a police force for the Postal Service. And the Postal Service was a public infrastructure, which we had rights over. So if they opened your letter, you could sue the government. Elon Musk completely shadow bans me, puts me in a digital cage, makes sure he's collecting data on all my followers, creating predictive analytics, you know, and then understanding the nature of my followers and redirecting traffic to Kennedy. We have many of my followers don't even follow Kennedy, but they'll get his pop-up. So their goal is to redirect people. And so we have censorship 10.0. And so I have a lawsuit right now in federal court against Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, et cetera. Okay. As a follow on to my ongoing lawsuit, but we can't find lawyers to do it. We have to do it, Willem. So we are constantly being forced, which is okay, to walk the walk, to walk the talk. So our movement is the only force on this planet which has a full program. We teach people the theory. We get people on the ground. We've created a community. And every Thursdays to people following, you know, our one of our major European leaders is right out of the Netherlands, you know, Karel Beckver, you know? So, Karel. So, Netherlands, Scandinavia, Germany, France, these are very, very hot areas where our movement is automatically just taking root organically, particularly the Netherlands. And it's fascinating to watch because the quality of people that, again, he's a farmer, you know, another woman's a teacher, a civil engineer, all these people have full-time jobs and they do this. No one in our movement, you know, is running Children's Health Defense Fund with a $10 million budget, talking about helping children over here, meanwhile, fine with killing children in Gaza. There's no contradictions like this. And that's why I would say 2024 is so different, because you can literally now go online and you'll see our name up there, a true bottoms up movement. Whether we get one vote or 10 votes or 20 votes, the issue is that we've created a bottoms up movement. We're explaining to people these concepts. We're giving people inspiration that it's not about who wins the election. It's about you. Are you raising your consciousness when you vote for me or you decide to write me in? What you're really saying is, I'm done with that system. I know we have to build a bottoms-up movement. That's when they're voting for us. So everyone who votes for us like that, Willem, that's magnificent, right? All of those people we've broken away from this matrix, you say?
Yes.
And you don't need a lot of those people. You only need probably 2 to 3% of them. You create the vibratory, very different consciousness rate. And then change will occur like a phase shift. So that's the goal here. So it's just a matter of time for us to win. So I'm very, very optimistic.
Winning in that sense is staying in the game and showing what the game is. Now,
well, winning is a revolution. But what is
true.
A revolution?
I winning think we both agree that whether Harris wins or Trump wins, that is not a revolution.
Yeah, so we have to define what a revolution is. In my book, System and Revolution, I define it from an engineering standpoint. A revolution is a phase shift. Okay? It occurs with phases, right? You have a piece of ice. At a certain temperature, it goes to water. And at a different temperature, exactly at that temperature, overnight, it goes to steam. You see? It's not like revolutions take overnight. They occur instantaneously. So my view on this is if enough people understand and they can they can see a Kennedy, they can see a Bernie Sanders, they can see the next Gandhi. You see, in India, there's a revolutionary movement building against the obvious establishment, the British. Gandhi was parachuted in to talk nonviolent shit, you know, tell people to quiet down. 70 years, India's had corruption. He led people into more suffering. But if enough people understand the dynamics of the not-so-obvious establishment, why we need to build a bottoms-up movement and why it has to be by us, it's over. And you only need about 2 to 3%. 30% of the people in any part of the world in any organization never want to do anything. They're resistors. 50% watch which way the ball bounces. 20% want to change the world. Unfortunately, a large majority of the 20% who are activists, they spend 80% of their time trying to convince the 30% who are never going to change, and they burn themselves out. Our model is if 20% of that 20%, 4%, focus on the 20% and grow them, have these kinds of conversations, have these polemics, discuss the mistakes that were made.
Yeah, I think that's a very important part.
You're going to be able to
get the other 50% over. An illusion of democracy is trying to get the absolute majority, which is completely ludicrous. The movement is the goal in itself.
The goal of the swarm from an intelligent systems approach, and this is why everyone should go to truthfreedomhelp.com. You have to understand this. It's not intuitive. Is they have particular goals. Their goal is maximize power, maximize profit, maximize control. For the 8 billion of us, our goal is to maximize truth, maximize freedom, maximize health. That's our goal. These are two competing goals. We're a disturbance to their goal. They're a disturbance to our goal. Okay? So the inputs that we need to put in the system are very different than the inputs they do. Their inputs that they do is limit discourse, have censorship, mass surveillance, give you the obvious and not so obvious establishment, anoint, you know, box what discussions you're going to talk about. So Kamala Harris, oh, she's dumb. She does word salad. Oh, Trump is a con man. So I talked to a friend of mine who was over the house. He was saying, oh, Kamala's really bad. She does word salad. I said, Frank, where did you get those terms? I said, you're repeating what you heard. And other people are going to repeat con man. You see, you're not stepping back and realizing they're both going to fuck you. Because the Zionists are going to right now figuring out who can deceive the American people more. And that's who they'll flip the switch on. So our goal is to step by step, and it's not going to be overnight. This is a long game. But one by one by one, we have conversations, we educate people, we give them more training. This is not going to you have to create an army of people who understand these concepts. And people, unfortunately, they've gotten used to the swarm's model of quick fix. Yeah, what you say is true, Dr. Shiva, but now we got to support Kennedy right now. Fuck that. That's what, right now, I agree with everything you're saying, but now we have to do this. You see, that now is why nothing happens. The issue is, I don't give a fuck what they do. I don't care if they start World War III's, pandemics. We're going to build our movement.
And with that, you actually answered the question, what do you expect from these elections? It's just the next step for our movement.
It's a next step for truth, freedom, health. It's a step for expanding consciousness. Because if you go now on my, it's fascinating to watch. In 2020, when I exposed Trump, right, I lost 20% of my followers. Now you see people attacking him using the same arguments. Kennedy, same thing. A lot of women who gave him a lot of money because they wanted him, you know, they wanted to sleep with a guy, right? And he thinks he's whatever, a ladies' man. Many of those women come to us, Dr. Shiva, you were so right. I gave $25,000 to Kennedy. I went to his thing. I saw how he separated people. The guy's a fucking loon, okay? People are seeing through his duplicity. People are also raising their standards, Willem. They're realizing, why am I lowering my standards? Like, why am I accepting contradictions? How can I say that he wants to take poison out of kids' food, but he's okay poisoning kids in Gaza? Like, how can you accept that? You see? So we're forcing people to put a mirror to themselves. It's not about Kennedy. It's not about me. It's about the individual. Why are you accepting low standards? Why are you accepting? The guy is telling to your face, personal integrity and public integrity are two different things. Really? That means you can beat your wife, but you can act like a great guy outside. That's okay. That's what he's telling you. So your society that you're going to create is going to have that kind of leaders. Your leaders reflect your consciousness. So if you have people like that, you're going to be like that. You're going to one day tell your own kids, oh, you can be like this, but outside be like this. Okay? Don't be straight, right? Talk a certain way. Be diplomatic because you'll get ahead. And every time you make these compromises in life, you're actually becoming a slave. And so our goal is get people off the plantations. We say, go to Shatter the Swarm. Go watch that 15-minute video. Go watch all the little course videos we've done free to understand why you must get off the plantation. Now it gets scary for people. Holy shit, I'm alone. I guess I can't trust Kennedy. I can't trust Tulsi Gabbard. I can't trust the left. What do I do? Well, that means you have to build a community to build a movement. So that's where I think it's a sense of fear, Willem, because people want a quick fix.
And they don't want to be left out or left alone. These are the childhood traumas.
Yes. So that's why I keep saying it's personal and it's collective. You have to connect your own personal journey of oppression to the larger journey. Now, I was forced to do that as a four-year-old kid because I saw the caste system. So I had to start asking these very, very deep questions. So I, you know, was forced to mature on these kinds of issues. By the time I was 17, 18, I realized this shit. And now, you know, to me, it's been a fulfillment of a long journey to enable, to crack the code on how all this works, the mechanics of it. So it doesn't have to be nebulous. So it's like, okay, first you do this. First understand the few controls. Now go study this. Now go, no one's ever had that before, like a clear path to your own liberation. And along this path, you're going to have to grow. You're going to have to let go of some shit, okay? But the cool thing is we have a community now, right? We give people stuff to do. It's not theory. Okay, go hand out cards. Oh, I'm afraid to hand out cards. Really? But you're good on the keyboard.
Also the big challenge, because how do you keep the community from being absorbed by the blob? How do you keep the leaders, natural leaders that come up in the community, from not being corrupted? I think those two points.
Yeah, so the important. Only way to do that, Willem, is two things. One is that the dynamics of the knowledge in this, which expose that into itself, you see? So for example, that's why it's very, very important to have a set of principles, okay? And those principles are that we're not reliant on them. We're not reliant. I mean, once you break from them, I mean, Joe Rogan follows me. He knows about me. Eddie Bravo said put him on, but he's never going to put me on. Because the day that he puts me on, it's over for them. I'm going to reach, you know, 100 million people like that. So you realize that if you're truly off the plantation, you can never rely on the master, right, to help you burn down his own house. No, he's not going to let you to do that. Okay?
But you can call him out, because if he doesn't, you expose it. And I think that's
you
really
win good. Anyway. In this model, we're always winning. Mm-hmm. We always win. We ran for office. They thought they won. We devastated them by everything we exposed. Now we're winning again. We've built a national organization. How can we lose? You don't lose. You just keep getting more people. It's just a matter of time. It's like you're chipping away, right? And every chip you get more material to build your movement. The most important thing is we keep fighting. We keep doing this, that we don't stop. And that's the most important thing, that people have to understand, that you have to be relentless. You don't stop. So you lose this lawsuit. Like we just, they dismissed a case of ours in Tennessee. But the judge was forced to split the baby in half. He gave us two of our arguments, and the other two he kept, which were bogus. But now we're going to escalate it to the next level, you see? So we keep winning as long as we keep acting and fighting. But if we pussyfoot out and we whine and moan, we lose.
Yeah, I think that there you raise another very good point. We have done over 50 court cases now against government, but also against the cronies of the government, so social media, banks, etc. Then people point out, but you always lose, which is not entirely true, because I think we won 8 times of the 51, but they were overturned because they went into appeal until they had enough time to change the law in certain cases. But by doing that, by staying in the race, by constantly going at them, you expose them. That's why we film all the court cases we do, because we want people to see that the other side is only doing and has no arguments. We want them to see that the judge asks good questions and then comes up with a bullshit verdict. And I think that is really important for people to understand that not only the elections, the media, science, court system. Everything is rigged to keep the elite in power.
Yeah, and I think the important thing in doing this is people see people fighting and being relentless. And we have to, I keep telling people, you have to redefine what winning is. Winning is fighting. Losing is inactivity, where you're sitting on the sidelines of being entertained. The entire model of the Western advertising model of Edward Bernays was to get people making everything a soundbite and people being entertained. That's the goal. So if you're being sitting on the sidelines on keyboard all day, just yapping, but you're not jumping in and fighting, actually doing the work, then you're basically a house slave. You're being used. So this is the state of consciousness we're flipping people over to. Now, some people, it's too hard for them, right? Because they want to have a savior and they will have to go through their journey. So we tell people, you know, we'll get people defending Trump. We say, good, go. Yeah, we'll give you a recommendation. Go join Trump's campaign. Go do that for 5 years. And then you're going to wake up and you're going to realize how you got screwed. So the goal here is we identify those people who get it intellectually in their guts, but they don't have the knowledge to learn how to frame all of that. So it's like you find someone who's, I keep saying, a very good baseball player. He could throw the ball, but he never got any training, right? He's got raw talent. So we have that infrastructure to give people training. So, and then with that, now you've created an individual with a very high state of consciousness. They can lead people. It's like you've created a nuclear physicist, you know, who knows how to split the atom versus someone just burning down 100,000 trees, right? To get the same energy. So that's what the process is. It has to be very deliberate. It has to be organized. There's not going to be any, revolution is not spontaneous. Revolution is organized. It's not just poof, it just appears because we're all good people. The anarcho-syndicalists don't get this right. You know, you have to deliberately organize it. You have to have your own leaders, but from below. And it has to be based on merit. Who did the work? Not based on Kennedy name or Trump name or this kind of shit. So we're going after all those very, very archaic frameworks. And you have to be very careful because the swarm is everywhere. They manipulate you in many different levels. So you have to, you're constantly doing a certain level of self-criticism or self-questioning, right? So again, it's a deeply personal thing and it's also collective and both work together. They go back and forth. So the revolution creates the revolutionary, you know? So you have to do the work.
Great thoughts. And with that, I think we come to an end. Do you have a message for the people in the Netherlands?
Yeah, number one message is everyone must recognize that building a movement is a matter of you getting off your butt and doing it. But go to shatterthesswarm.com. Start there.
I'll put the link in the description.
Yeah, then go to truthfreedomhealth.com. And right now, I would say those are the two things, international audience. For the US audience, people should go to shivaforpresident.com, right? But Shiva for President, you know, from a community level is powered by Truth Freedom Health, which is a global movement, which is about educating people on this process. Our goal is to raise consciousness, not like, you know, meditative consciousness, right? Because that's very isolated type of consciousness, sitting under a tree and having your kundalini raised, right? This is a much deeper level of consciousness. You can raise your kundalini, but you should also raise your political consciousness and your scientific consciousness. So our goal is to create people who are scientists, who are activists, and who take care of their health, Truth, Freedom, Health. You can't just be in your little yoga bubble here, or you can't just be in your First Amendment bubble or your nerd bubble. You got to be all three, and they're all interrelated. Without freedom, you can't have truth, and without health, you can't have truth or freedom. You don't have the intellectual, you don't have the wherewithal. You need all three. So that's the goal. So everyone get involved. Also, Willem, let everyone know every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and also at 8 p.m. we do an open house. A lot of people from Europe come at the 11 a.m. one, EST, vashiva.com/orientation. So that's pretty much our message. Everything we always do is to get people on the ground, get on the ground. You know, you can learn all this stuff intellectually, but you got to get on the ground and meet your neighbors and educate them.
Thank you very much for this motivational speech and this great conversation to give people insight to what politics and elections really are. I hope that we do a follow-up in the near future, and I wish you good luck with building the movement.
Be well, Willem. Best to you and your friends. Bye-bye.
The recording has stopped.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working-class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not-so-obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption and racism. They've transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shiva Ayyadure, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure, and I approve this message. Paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite, working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.